Building on the Solid Rock with Pastor Troy Neely of Calvary Chapel's Solid Rock.
Let every family find faith in the Father's love. This is where it begins. This is our cry, this is our song, Jesus the way. We find our life in Him.
The lesson was, one of the lessons was, the most important thing is the spiritual healing, not the physical healing. The most important thing is spiritual nutrition, spiritual health, not physical health. Let me ask you this, do you have a spiritual hunger today? Do you hunger and thirst after spiritual things? Is there something inside you that causes you to want to know the Lord more? To want to know Him, to be closer to Him? Is there something inside you at all?
When it comes down to it, our bodies will die, but our spirits will live forever. We may need healing of our physical bodies right now, but we need the healing Jesus offers our spirits forever. The bread we eat lasts maybe for a day, but when we're hungry for the Word of God, that bread lasts for eternity. Pastor Troy is asking the question today, how hungry are you for the eternal things, for that spiritual bread? Our spirits need the nutrition of the Word of God, and that Word fuels us for all of eternity. Now, here's Pastor Troy in John chapter 6 with today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock.
You're here because I filled your belly with bread. I did something and you liked it and you want more of it. That's why you're here. That's what he's telling them. You will follow for food. But what happens is instead of food being given to them, because yesterday Jesus had compassion on them. They hadn't eaten. They had come. They weren't expecting this. But now They ate yesterday. He knows. He fed them to the full. So yeah, they may be a little hungry, but they're not going to starve. They're not going to die. They're okay. Food's not the essential right now. The most important thing is. And instead of giving them food, you know what he does? It's near and dear to my heart. He preaches a sermon. You don't need food. You need a message. And so what is his message for these bread seekers? I am the bread of life. That's the message that he gives them. But he tells them, you didn't come because of the signs. You didn't come because you believe in me. You came for food. And he gives them, and he says some hard things about being the bread of life. And in the end of his message, there are some who will say in their own minds, like, I didn't come for a sermon. I didn't come for a sermon, I came for bread. And I didn't come to hear these hard things, so I'm out of here. And verse 66 will say, once we get there, we're not getting there today. It says this, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. You tricked us. I wanted bread, I came here for bread, and you gave me a sermon about life, eternal life, you're the bread. So Jesus, what he's going to do is he's going to expose their reasons for being there and that they're not legitimate, real reasons for being there. They weren't motivated or moved by an empty heart seeking truth. They were moved by an empty stomach. Fix me, heal me, give me, do something, fix my wife, fix my child, whatever it is. Again, being drawn by that is one thing. But building your faith on it is shallow and does nothing for you. James Montgomery Boyce said this, I am convinced that in our day in American Christianity, there is a lamentable tendency to focus on human need rather than on God himself. He goes on to say, I am equally convinced that this is the worst possible way to have your needs met and to achieve a healthy Christianity. So when we follow the Lord to just fix things, Lord, just fix things. It's true he does and he can, and his ways will nudge certain things in the right routine. But that's not going to do anything for our salvation or our eternity. And may not have long-lasting results. May fix things immediately, but not long-term. So what is the best way then? We're going to touch on that later. But a question for now might be this. Why do we do what we do? I mean, why do we pray? Why do we read our Bibles? Why do we come to church? Why do we do it? It should not be that we need to do these things, though we do, but it should be so that we can get to know who the Lord is. Not so that he does things around us, but so that he can do things in us. I don't need to be here for my spouse. I need to be here for me. So I shouldn't take all of my notes for my spouse. I should take them for me. In fact, if you are a note taker, I mean, it's okay when something funny is said or, oh, that was an interesting reference. Those are good things to note. But the greatest things to note are if God speaks to your heart about something about you, that's noteworthy. Don't forget it. Then you become like the crowds who went away and Satan or the birds were able to snatch it up right away because we forgot all about what God said to us. Oh, but I remember that joke. I remember Adam's Road. They're coming. I remember those things. What did God say to you? I don't know. I know he said something. I mean, it was good. No. You need to know those things. That's the only way you're going to be able to walk and change each day. Is to note the things and not to note it and then throw it away, but to note it and keep it on your task list to pray for and pray through and ask God for help in so that we grow. It's not just that we need to do these things. We need to do them the right way for our heart and not for our belly, not for selfish reasons, because this is all about eternity and not the temporal. Jesus says, verse 27, do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you because God the Father has set his seal on him. Second thing, very important, we're kind of digging a trench here, is that living for self will be detrimental. Living for yourself and focused on self will cause a great fall. Be harmful to you and others around you. So if your Christianity is all about you, all about your needs, it's going to take you nowhere eternally. What Jesus is saying is don't follow me for the physical bread. Don't follow me for physical needs first. It's okay that you have physical needs and you come to me with them. Yes, bring everything. But don't let that be the one reason or the main reason that you follow me. Follow me first for salvation. Follow me first because I am the way, the truth, and the life. Follow me first because you believe in me. In verse 35, Jesus will say to them, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. He who believes in me shall never thirst. You know, this is the second time that Jesus actually shows the priority of the eternal above the physical, and he does it with very important items. Here it's bread, but the first time we saw it was with water. You remember the woman at the well? And she was thirsty, or she was bringing water back, and he told her, you know, that if she drinks from this well, him, that she would have living water, and she would never have to thirst again. So Jesus prioritized the spiritual things and the spiritual needs above the physical needs, putting those first. Now, he's not saying that physical needs don't matter to him. After all, the day before, he saw the crowds coming and provided physical needs for them. But now, it's a day later, and yes, they're maybe 24 hours hungrier, but they're okay. He knows they're going to be okay. And what they need is to understand that the spiritual needs they have are far more important than the physical needs. That was the lesson of Jesus when the paralytic was dropped right in front of him before, because of his friends. His friends come and drop him right in front of Jesus as Jesus is in the middle of a packed house teaching. There was no room for them to even come in the door. That's why they had to lower him. And I don't even know his mindset. He's a paralytic, so he can't do anything. Maybe he's telling his friends, don't do that. Don't drop me. Don't drop me. Not in the crowds, you know. But he's coming down anyway, and he can't do anything. And so does Jesus comfort him by going, oh, man, I'm so glad. I'm God. It's perfect timing, you know. He didn't do that. What does he do? It almost seems even more demeaning at first, but Jesus is teaching a lesson. And he says, your sins are forgiven you. Like the sin of having my friends drop me right here in the middle of this thing. No, your sins. Wait a minute, I'm a paralytic. The friends, we didn't come here for that. But Jesus was showing that the most important thing for this guy is not that he walks again. He'll walk again one day in heaven for all eternity. But him walking here, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that he is restored in God's eyes, healed of his sin, forgiven. And Jesus gave him the best thing, the number one thing. Now, there were some religious leaders. The religious leaders were there, and in their thoughts, they were thinking, this is blasphemy, because he is forgiving, and only God can forgive. So this is blasphemy. Well, Jesus knew their thoughts. And so Jesus says to them, so, which is harder to do? To say something like, hey, your sins are forgiven. I mean, that's not hard to do, right? I can walk around everybody, your sins are forgiven. Your sins, I don't know what they are, but they're forgiven. Forgiveness for all. That's easy to do, to go around saying it. Their question was, does he have the authority to do it?
Pastor Troy will return soon with the second half of today's edition of Building on the Solid Rock, so stay with us. If you're enjoying the teachings of Pastor Troy Neely and would like more information about this program, we invite you to visit our website at buildingonthesolidrock.com. There you will also find an archive of previous messages from verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book studies through the Bible. We'd also encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, as you'll be able to gain access to the latest teachings as soon as they're posted. That website again is buildingonthesolidrock.com. We're blessed to be a part of your life through the ministry of Building on the Solid Rock. We pray you're blessed as you continue to tune in. Now, back to Pastor Troy with more of today's message.
And so he says, okay, I've done something that's easy to say, but did it really happen? Let me show you. He says, so that you can know that I have the authority to forgive sins. And he tells him to rise. Rise up and walk. Take up your mat. I'll do something you think is actually harder. Because it is harder. If you bring someone in who's been paralyzed their whole life and you know that, I'm not going to be so bold as to go, like I could go, your sins are forgiven. I'm not just going to go, rise and walk. And I wouldn't do that, not unless God is compelling me. That would not be a good thing. And so Jesus does that very thing to show them, I do have authority to do the greater thing, making himself equal with God. It was a lesson. So the lesson was, one of the lessons was, the most important thing is the spiritual healing, not the physical healing. The most important thing is spiritual nutrition, spiritual health, not physical health. Let me ask you this. Do you have a spiritual hunger today? Do you hunger and thirst after spiritual things? Is there something inside you that causes you to want to know the Lord more? To want to know Him, to be closer to Him? Is there something inside you? At all. At the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. So, hunger. Hunger is a sign of health. If you've ever known when individuals get sick, a certain type of sickness, is they don't really eat. They're not really all that hungry. So as soon as they start saying, man, I'm hungry, you go, oh, that's a good sign. That's good. You're getting your health back. You're getting your appetite back. And so hunger is often a sign of health. So the answer to your question about yourself, do I really hunger after the things of God, can be answered very easily. Because most of us would say, of course I'm hungry for the things of God. I'm here. I'm a Christian. I hunger for the things of God. But your hunger might be like mine for a slice of cheesecake. You know, which is, I haven't had a slice of cheesecake in a while, man. I could sure use some cheesecake. But I'm not going anywhere to have cheesecake. I'm going there. I'll get some cheesecake one day. But I have an appetite for it. A hunger for it. That's not the hunger we're talking about. We're talking about, I feel like I'm going to die unless I eat something. You ever been there? I know you have. It's not true. You've never really, really been there usually. But, you know, it's been 2 hours since we ate. And so, I'm going to kill somebody, man. I need to have some food. So we know about hunger driving us, right? And what do? We eat, or we make everyone around us miserable until we eat. So that's the hunger I'm talking about. Although we don't make everyone miserable around us until we get the food, we make everyone miserable around us because we haven't partaken of the food. So here's how you can tell if you really have a hunger. And that is this. Are you reading your Bible and are you praying? You will be driven to these things if you have a hunger for the Lord. Ask anybody who's gone through a storm and a trial. If they hadn't prayed in a while, they will test that line again. They're driven toward it. They're driven toward, thank you, Lord, seeking Him. So if reading the Word, getting to know the Word, and taking in the Word and prayer are not something you are actively about, you don't have enough hunger. And that's not a good sign. That's not a good sign. It's a sign of being unhealthy. So, all you have to do is look at what you're feeding on. You may have an appetite for those things. Well, I do. But the other things that you're doing and you're about, they are a greater appetite. You're hungry for them more. I'm hungry for the promotion, so I'm going to be about these things. I'm hungry for. And so, yes, you could say, I do have an appetite for the things of the Lord. It's just 99th or 100th on the list right now of all of my appetites. So it's not just having the appetite, prioritizing it, having a real healthy appetite. So we said earlier that we shouldn't make our faith about getting physical needs met, right? That it's not the road to a healthy faith. So what is? It's seeking the Lord to know Him because you believe in Him. That should be the primary motivation. You know, God told the children of Israel when they had everything taken away from them and they were being taken into the land of captivity, because that's how low they had to get before they actually got to this hunger. And He said to them, then you will seek Me and you will find Me. When you seek Me with all of your heart, when you really mean it, when you get to that place, Lord, okay, forget the stuff. Forget, give me, give me, give me. What do you want? Who are you? What is my life supposed to be about? So, the road to a healthy faith is to seek the Lord, to seek Him, His ways, His righteousness. In fact, Matthew chapter 6, 31 through 33 says this, Jesus speaking, therefore do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Don't just lay there and go, well, fix me, Lord. Fix the problems. No, no, no. You pursue Him. Lord, what is it? Study Him like you got a college final coming up. Study, because your life changes as a result of what you put into this. Your faith increases supernaturally by what you put into your seeking first him and his kingdom, his righteousness. Now, the opposite, because we started by saying living for self will be detrimental. Let me read something that says that's living for him. So let me read something that speaks to the living for self. It's called Recipe for a Miserable Life. And you might want to take some notes. It says this. Recipe for a miserable life. Think about yourself. Talk about yourself. Use the word I as often as possible. Mirror yourself continually in the opinions of others. Listen greedily to what people say about you. Expect to be appreciated. Be suspicious, be jealous, be envious, be sensitive to slights. Never forgive a criticism. Trust nobody but yourself. Insist on consideration and respect. Demand agreement with your own views on everything. Sulk if people are not grateful to you for favor shown to them. Never forget a service you may have rendered to someone. Be on the lookout for a good time for yourself. Shirk your duties, if at all possible. Do as little as possible for other people. Love yourself supremely. Be selfish. I guarantee you that if your worldview, if that's your worldview, you will lead a miserable life. And then he says, but if you seek first the kingdom of God, seek first his righteousness, and place the spiritual life above even the physical needs, not thinking of yourself only, but considering others, God will take care of you in abundant fashion. That is his promise to you, to all of us. We think it's take care of me first, then take care of everyone else. The Lord says, I got you. You do my work towards others. I'll take care of you. If you take care of you, I'll let you. But if you let me use you to minister to others, build them up, I'll take care of you. And I'll do a better job than you would have. So, the recipe for a miserable life versus the recipe for spiritual life. Life to the fullest, Jesus called it. So living for self can be detrimental. And finally, verse 28, then they said to him, what shall we do that we may work the works of God? Okay, we get it. Bread, your bread. All right. What shall we do? Verse 29, Jesus answered and said to them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent. Last thing, believing in Jesus must be foundational. We won't do the things that he says that we should do if we don't believe in him. And believing in him is what causes us to do the things that he wants us to do, to put him first. Here's the flow of the conversation. Jesus is saying, don't focus on the physical as much as on the spiritual. You came for bread, I'm giving you a sermon about the bread of life, which is me. All of their life, for them to mature, to grow, to develop, has been about what they need to do. They were under the law. They were Jews. And so what do we do? What are the do's? What are the don'ts? What do we do? So everything's been about a do. Even the nations around them, if you want to please their gods, it's about what you do. Bring this sacrifice. Do this thing. Do that. And so their question is a natural one. What do we do? So what do we do to be on the spiritual plane? Well, there's nothing you can do. Jesus doesn't make it about a do, but about a who. Who is it? And he says that we should believe in the one the Father has sent.
Pastor Troy has been teaching through the Gospel of John here on Building on the Solid Rock. Different than the other Gospel books, John introduced his book by going further back than when Jesus was born as a baby. He delved into the very nature of God, and solidified throughout his writing that Jesus was the Son of God. This backdrop gives you a different insight into Jesus as a man, as he lived here on earth. It's no wonder that the book of John includes so many miracles, because it's evidence that only God could do such things. If you're curious to hear more of the teachings from this book, visit our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. You can listen online or download the messages to share with others. If you've been encouraged by today's message, we'd love to hear from you. feel free to send us an email through our website, buildingonthesolidrock.com. That's all we have time for today. Join Pastor Troy next time as he continues in the Gospel of John on Building on the Solid Rock.
Let the light of Christ shine as we grow in Him. Come have your